السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم
Never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love. And whatever you spend, Allah surely knows it well. Every mu'min, every believer, desires to attain nearness to Allah the Exalted by performing virtues. In this verse, Allah the Exalted draws the attention of the mu'minin, of the believers, by telling them that if they desire to perform virtues in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Exalted, then remember that virtues demand sacrifices. Therefore, make sacrifices to acquire the pleasure of God the Exalted. Sacrifice that thing which you love the most. Sacrifice that which you benefit and yield benefit from. Sacrifice that which is providing you with comfort and convenience. And sacrifice that which may appear to you to be the means of helping the future of your offspring. Therefore, all of these sacrifices are no ordinary sacrifices. Man has always loved wealth. This has also been mentioned by Allah the Exalted, that gold, silver, animals, property, fields, and orchards are all greatly loved by mankind and are a source of pride for men. However, in today's materialistic age, while new technologies have not only brought people close living in different parts of the world, in fact, this technology and economical system has greatly increased human desires. Irrespective of whether or not one has an abundance of wealth, the surge of desires and love of money have reached their zenith. And this is because they want to benefit from all of these conveniences and facilities, and they desire to access all leisure things which are available in any of the countries of the world. This has particularly reached extreme proportions in the developed nations. If, God forbid, the circumstances of these countries deteriorate or war breaks out, the state of the people living here will be beyond our imagination. Anyways, this is just a side note. However, in every denomination of people, in the name of the necessities of life and one's love of wealth, the desire to seek the newest and latest things has reached their pinnacle. Moreover, due to the media and the expansion of trade and business, people living in poor or less developing nations or the developing nations are also familiar of the amenities available in the developed countries. And even in these countries, if not the very poor, then at least the average citizen's desire and preference is to acquire the most novel and original things. In any case, materialism is at its peak. Telling someone in such circumstances to spend from those things which he loves in order to attain virtue and to sacrifice one's desires and conveniences are, for the general worldly individual, stories from old times. Or one would say, "All right, we may spend on the poor and help them a bit and give something to them in charity." However, to say that one should spend that which we love the most and to crush our desires and to sacrifice keeping in mind the desires of other people or to sacrifice for the sake of religion is a strange and ludicrous proposition. However, the world is unaware that even in this age there are such people who understand the teachings of the Holy Quran, and they strive to act upon those teachings of the Holy Quran. In this age, there are those who seek to attain the standard of al-bir, of righteousness. That is to say, such virtue as would be considered by others the extremity of sacrifice. They seek to perform that virtue which keeps one forever restless to benefit others. They endeavor to perform those virtues which set a high standard of sacrifice of wealth, life, and time in order to spread the religion. They strive to perform those virtues which increases them in obedience, and in order to demonstrate this obedience, they do not consider what they prefer the most. At that time, the dearest thing to them is only to show obedience to the command of Allah the Exalted. They strive to perform those virtues which increases one in taqwa, in the righteousness and the fear of God. A major part of the world does not realize who these people are. These are the people who, by remaining attached to the Imam of the age and the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, have acquired the understanding of true virtue and piety. These are those who, in order to acquire piety, have been guided by the correct pathways leading to the radiant minarets of virtues, and who were the recipients of beneficence through the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, whose standards of sacrifice were astonishing. In a hadith, it states that when the verse was revealed, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love, Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari, who was a wealthy person from among the Ansar of Medina, owned orchards of dates, and among them the finest one was known as Biroha. This orchard was very dear to Hazrat Abu Talha and was in very close proximity to the Masjid Nabawi, the Holy Prophet's mosque. Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would also frequent this orchard. In any case, upon the revelation of this verse, Hazrat Abu Talha went to the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and said, "My dearest property is the orchard of Biroha, which I give in the way of Allah the Almighty." So these are the people who are like the radiant stars that have designated the pathways of virtue. So by citing the examples of the Sahaba, these companions of the Holy Prophet, the Imam of the age has repeatedly drawn our attention. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in his numerous sayings, repeatedly expounds upon the teachings and commands of the Holy Quran. He granted us the understanding and insight of acquiring virtue, and he told us about the high standards of virtues. He exhorted us to establish ourselves on those examples which were established by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's companions. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that it is essential for the believers of the promised Messiah to adopt these examples. Therefore, at one place, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "No one can claim to do good by spending that which is useless and ineffectual. The doorway to piety is very narrow. Therefore, be fully mindful of the fact that no one can enter through it by spending what is useless, on account of this clear verse, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, until you spend what you hold dearest and most cherished, you cannot attain the rank of being a beloved and dear one. If you do not want to endure pain and do not want to adopt true piety, how can you be successful and prosperous?" Did the companions attain their status for free? How much expense and difficulties one endures to achieve worldly titles, after which one, eventually, down the line, earns an ordinary title which can never give him peace and tranquility of mind. Think then, would the title of Radiallahu Anhum, may Allah be pleased with him, which brings comfort and tranquility to the heart and is a sign of the pleasure of the compassionate Lord, have been attained so easily, just like that? The fact is that the pleasure of God the Exalted, which is the source of true happiness, cannot be attained unless temporary pain is endured. God cannot be deceived. Blessed are those who do not care about pain to attain divine pleasure, because the believers find the light of eternal happiness and everlasting comfort after temporary pain. While advising members of the Jamaat, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also said in a gathering, "In the world, man has great love for wealth." With reference to this, in the book Ilm-e Tabir al-Ruya, it states that if anyone sees in a dream that he takes his liver out and gives it to someone, it infers wealth. It is for this reason that it states with regards to attaining true righteousness and attaining faith, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love. This is because a large part of sympathy and compassion for the creation of God necessitates spending of wealth, because compassion for mankind and for creation of God is an important element of faith, without which faith cannot be complete and cannot be firmly rooted. How can man be of any benefit to another unless one makes sacrifice? For sacrifice is essential to be of benefit to others and to show them sympathy. The verse, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, teaches and guides to making these very sacrifices. Thus, spending of wealth in the way of Allah the Exalted is a standard and benchmark of righteousness. The standard and benchmark of devotion to God in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, was that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a need, he brought all that was in his home to give. The community initiated by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, did not just listen to these words, ignore it, and then divert their attention in some other direction or elsewhere. Rather, they actually established the standards of sacrifice. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, himself, has made mention of this in many places, in numerous gatherings and assemblies. On one occasion, in view of the standard of sacrifice in the Jamaat, he said, I see hundreds of people who are part of our Jamaat or community who can scarcely afford to clothe themselves. They barely have one sheet of garment available to them. They do not have any property. Yet their boundless sincerity, devoted love and loyalty leads one to be amazed and astonished. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said on another occasion, the progress and change found in our Jamaat cannot be found in any other community throughout the age. Thus, this status was acquired by those who directly benefited from the promised Messiah and gained the certification of his pleasure. But did this sincerity and loyalty diminish with the passage of time? Most certainly it did not. As I said earlier, even today there are men, women, and children in the Jamaat of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who excel in sincerity and loyalty. This is not the case among a few or in some specific places in the world. Rather, Ahmadis who possess the correct understanding of the verse of the Holy Quran, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, they are spread all through different nations of the world. Among them are both old Ahmadis and new Ahmadis, some who joined a little while ago, rather perhaps a few months ago since they accepted Ahmadiyyat, whose preferences were previously worldly, before they accepted Ahmadiyyat. But they are now ready to sacrifice their dearest wealth and are ready to sacrifice all what they hold dear for the sake of faith. This is that revolutionary change which has been brought about in this age by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. This revolution has changed the preferences of people, and even today the words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, are being proven true, and one is amazed to see such people. Upon seeing the sacrifices of such individuals, one is astounded. I now present a few examples of the sacrifices rendered by these sincere souls. As the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that scarcely they could clothe themselves, yet they have excelled in sincerity and loyalty. I give one example of this. This is an example of a lady who is blind. Our missionary from Sierra Leone writes that there is a Jamaat here, Mambaru, where a blind woman lives. She has written down 2,000 leon as a promise for Tariq-e-Jadid. When they went to her to collect the money, she said that she was worried about how she was going to pay up her promise because her means of income were limited due to her blindness and therefore would not be able to make the payment. It is very difficult, she said, to pay 2,000 leon for Janda. However, she said that since she had made a promise, therefore she would pay it. She decided to ask her sister, who was a non-Ahmadi, for a loan so that she could pay her Janda. However, the sister refused because owing to her blindness, she had limited means and therefore was not certain whether she would be able to actually pay her back. Upon this, the blind lady became very worried and told the secretary of Tehreek-e-Jadid, who had come for the collection, to come later on. She became engaged in prayer, and in this instance, a stranger came to the village and passed by her while she was sat outside her house. She called out for the person and told him that she has a cloth which she ties around her head, and he can buy it from her for 2,000 leon, though the cloth was said to be worth between 10 and 15,000 leon. The person was surprised and inquired why she was selling it so cheaply. She replied that she had to pay her Tehreek-e-Jadid, and at present she does not have the money. The stranger purchased the cloth and gave her 2,000 leon. However, he was a very noble man, and so he returned the cloth and said that he was giving it to her to keep. Thus, an illiterate and blind woman living far away in Africa, yet this is the level of her devotion. Indeed, this devotion can only come about through God the Almighty. I will now present a few more accounts. The missionary in charge of Rajasthan, India, writes that there is a Jamaat here, Bolabali. While touring the area, he met a member who was around 65 years of age. He often becomes ill and has no income. He only finds work for 100 days in the year as a governmental laborer, and his wife also has to work in order to support the family. Their house is also in a very poor state. However, when his attention was drawn towards financial sacrifices, and he was asked to make a donation as a simple token, because this is also incumbent upon the true believers, so thus he gave 1,050 rupees. He was quite surprised and asked him that despite the poor condition of his house, he was giving such a big amount. The finance secretary who went to collect the money told him that if he wants to keep some of the money for himself, then he can do so. Upon hearing this, the man started to weep and said that he had saved this money for the sake of God the Almighty, and this is God Almighty's money, and he asked him to pray so that God Almighty grant him good health, and he can offer an even greater amount in the service of his Lord. Another account of a sincere individual who had progressed so much in loyalty and devotion, and one that is truly an eye-opener for the wealthy. Amir Sahib of Benin writes that the president of the Cotonou Jamaat sent him a list of all those who had promised to make a contribution towards Tehreek-e-Jadid. Among them was the name of a member who had been an Ahmadi for a very long time. When he was reminded of his contribution, he came the next day to the mission house and said, Have you ever seen anyone who has not eaten for a whole week? My state of poverty is such that I have been crying all night because I have to pay my Tehreek-e-Jadeed. However, I have no money. Perhaps God the Almighty is putting me through a trial. After this, he gave a small contribution towards Tehreek-e-Jadeed and said that at present this is all he had. He probably had loaned that money from somewhere, but he didn't use it to alleviate his hunger. Instead, he paid it towards charity. The gentleman who went to collect the money says that rather than taking from him charity, he in fact gave him some money in order to help him because of his dire state. When he gave him the money, he immediately returned 10 francifa from it, saying that this is chanda aam, obligatory chanda, which he was in arrears, and that he would use that money to pay his chanda aam. So such is a devotion and loyalty. Just as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, mentioned that they hardly have any clothes to cover their bodies, but they have excelled in their sincerity. The deputy Wakil ul-Mal in Qadian writes that Jamaat Ahmadiyya, Kodiatur, or whatever the place is, spoke about the importance of Tehreek-e-Jadeed in a Friday sermon in a Khutbah Jummah somewhere in India. They also spoke of the sacrifices of those sincere individuals who emphatically responded to the call of Hadrat Musleh Maud, peace be upon him. After the Friday prayer, the Sadr Lajna of that Jamaat went home and took off one of her weighty gold bangles and offered it in Tehreek-e-Jadeed. By the grace of God the Almighty, there are countless examples everywhere of women who have offered their jewelry in order to fulfill the needs of religion. Ahmadi women belonging to different parts of the world all share this spirit of sacrificing their desirable items of jewelry in the cause of faith. Today, this is the hallmark of only Ahmadi women. Germany's National Secretary for Tehreek-e-Jadeed writes that a seminar was organized there in the Hanau Jamaat regarding Tehreek-e-Jadeed. As soon as the seminar was over, one of the members came to the Tehreek-e-Jadeed office with his wife's jewelry. He said that they were on their way home from the seminar, and he told his wife they had written his promise for Tehreek-e-Jadeed and asked her whether she had also promised to give anything. She replied that she had made her contribution according to the verses of the Holy Quran, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And so she said she had given her wedding jewelry towards Tehreek-e-Jadeed. Amir Sahib of Lahore writes that a lady had promised a standard amount for Tehreek-e-Jadeed. Although she was quite well off, however, in order to meet their target, when she was asked to further contribute, she immediately stood up and went to her room and brought a full box of jewelry. She said that all of this is to be given in God Almighty's way, and took out a weighty gold bangle and gave them towards Tehreek-e-Jadeed. Now, one woman is in the southern area of India. Different tribes, people, nationalities, and languages. Then another one lives in Punjab in the Pakistan. A third one lives in Germany. But their spirit of sacrifice and thinking is exactly the same. This is a unity in standards of sacrifice which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has instilled within the community. These are the blessings of God the Almighty which he bestows upon Ahmadis. Relating an account of a very sincere individual from Africa, the missionary writes that he was posted to the Sogo region in Mali. After the Jumadi Friday prayer, the local muallim, or the local teacher or missionary, introduced me to a person who had the bayat and belonged to a family of one of the biggest mulvis or clerics. He said that he had come to pay his chanda because he had just heard Khalifatul Masih's sermon on the radio about chanda. The missionary states that in order to explain the blessings of spending in the way of God the Almighty, He quoted the verse, "Never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love." He was surprised after listening to this verse and said that he had just heard a sermon on the radio where the same verse was recited. Though he initially decided to pay 5,000 francs for Injanda, but Satan put doubt into his heart, and so he decided that 2,000 sifa was enough. However, he said now that he had quoted this verse again, he was convinced in his heart that this is a divine system, and he will now give 5,000 francs sifa, and so he paid 5,000 sifa towards his chanda. By the grace of God, the new Ahmadi converts are now excelling in financial sacrifices. I shall now present some examples of the way God the Almighty blesses those who make sacrifices, and also how their sacrifices bear fruits, and as a result of which they further increase in their faith and sincerity. Ibrahim Sahib from Congo says, "I am a landowner and do farming. Initially, I used to give very little chanda. However, ever since I have started to pay chanda, my crops yield much more produce. The significance of chanda has become apparent to me, and I have now regularly started to pay my chanda. As a result, my life has completely changed." Another lady from Congo, Mariam Sahiba, says, "I also do farming, and I have started to pay my chanda after every harvest. My experience is that after paying the chanda, my income doubles." The missionary from Congo writes that there is an Ahmadi Ahmed Sahib who is encouraged to pay chanda. He wrote a promise of 2,000 francs sifa for Tahreek-e-Jadid, even though he was unemployed at the time. However, a week after writing his promise, he found a job and currently he is working as a manager in his field. He regularly pays his chanda and says that this is all because of the blessings of chanda. The Deputy Vakil al-Mal of Qadian writes that a person from a Jamaat in Kerala, Patarapurim, phoned him and said that in the sermon he heard me announce the new Tahreek-e-Jadid year, and also relating the accounts of very sincere people in Africa who, despite being poor, passionately took part in Tahreek-e-Jadid. However, he said, "We are very well off, therefore increase my promise of 200,000 rupees to 500,000 rupees. After saying this, he began to cry and also wrote to me for prayers so that he may be able to fulfill his promise. The Deputy Vakilul Mal says that after some time while touring the district of Kerala, he met this individual and he had fully paid his chanda. He also said that as soon as he increased his promise for Tahreek-e-Jadid, God Almighty blessed his work immensely and he has so much wealth now that it is difficult to manage. The Tahreek-e-Jadid inspector of Karnataka, Ibrahim Sahib, says that responding to the call of Hadrat Musleh Maud, peace be upon him, a Khadim from Gulbar Jamaat, promised his 1 month's income of 73,600 rupees for Tahreek-e-Jadid. However, when he came to pay it, he increased it to 100,511 rupees. As a result of this, he also experienced a miracle. A person who owed him a large sum of money, but despite so many reminders, he had eventually lost all hope of being paid back. However, one day he unexpectedly turned up and paid back the full amount and apologized at the same time. Indeed, God Almighty strengthens people's faith because of their financial sacrifices. Such instances are found all over the world. A new Ahmadi from Uzbekistan, Wahid Wuk Sahib, said that he has been living in Moscow for a very long time and has always had an idea of how much his general income would be at the end of the year. However, since he has done the bayat, the oath of allegiance, this year, and started to pay his chanda, his income has increased exponentially. He has never earned so much in the last 13 years as he has this year. He has firm belief that this is due to the blessings of spending in the way of God the Almighty. The missionary from a region in Burkina Faso writes that a member of the Jamaat from the village, Tabgoki, went to a local muallim, a missionary or teacher, and said that he wished to perform the Hajj, the pilgrimage, but he did not have the resources. The muallim replied that he should become regular in offering his chanda, and God Almighty himself would improve his financial state and provide the means for him to travel for Hajj. After this, he started to pay his chanda regularly. After a while, he came to the muallim and said that God the Almighty has fulfilled his wish and has provided the means for him to perform the Hajj. He expressed that this had all happened due to the blessings of chanda. He has now returned from his Hajj and is regular in his chanda. A president of one of our Jamaats in Burkina Faso says that a person was experiencing a lot of financial difficulties. He even tried to start a project, but due to the lack of money, he could not complete it. During these days, he had the opportunity to attend the Jalsa Salana of Burkina Faso. After hearing about the importance of financial sacrifices, he decided that he will definitely take part in contributing towards chanda when he returns home, and will also cover any arrears he has. Therefore, upon his return, he paid off his arrears and promised to pay his chanda on time in the future. He says that even a month had not gone by, that all his worries in his home began to be resolved. With the grace of God the Almighty, he was able to complete his project, and this was all due to the blessings of paying chanda. Amir Sahib Kanira writes that a few years ago, one of our members suffered a loss of $250,000 in some financial dealings. He was reminded to pay regular in paying his obligatory chanda, because this will bless his wealth. This should also be clear that paying chanda arm is obligatory. After that, he started to pay obligatory donations regularly. He says that some time ago I read an excerpt from an address of Hadrat Muslih Maud, which stated that the donation of Tahreek-e Jadeed should be paid in the preliminary months. So I started to pay towards this donation in the preliminary months of the fiscal year, according to these instructions. And for the past 3 years, I have been paying it in the beginning of the fiscal year. As a result of this, Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace on me in such a manner that all my debt was cleared, and not only was my debt wiped out, rather I also attained financial stability. There is no doubt in the fact that Allah the Almighty's blessings are certainly invoked by spending in His way. Amir Sahib Kanira writes that a friend started his own business and pledged $1,000 for donation in Tahreek-e Jadeed. He was encouraged to increase this amount and pledge at least $5,000 for the next year. Moreover, he advised him to write to me for prayers to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih. Hazur says, may Allah the Almighty enable you to fulfill your promise. Amir Sahib's account continues that, therefore, at the end of the year, when the Secretary Mal, the Finance Secretary, visited him in order to collect the pledged amount, he told him that, Allah the Almighty has blessed my business immensely. I will pay $5,000 this year instead of the next year, and I will try to further increase this pledge the next year. Amir Sahib, America, writes that an Ahmadi from the Seattle Jamaat states, our businesses were burnt down in Pakistan in 1974 and then again in 1984. But whenever efforts were made to ruin our businesses, Allah the Almighty especially blessed our incomes manifold out of His immense grace. Therefore, this year, that Jamaat member has pledged $100,000, and he said that by the grace of Allah, now he is running such an elaborate business which he had never imagined before. Similarly, a Jamaat member bought a check for $38,415 from Chicago. When this member was asked why this particular amount, he replied, this was all the amount in my bank, which I pledge and present to you. There are such people in these well-developed nations who sacrifice for the sake of their faith and give everything they have. New Ahmadis are also progressing in sincerity and loyalty. There is an Arab Ahmadi who took the Bayat, the Oath of Allegiance, in November 2011. His wife took the Oath of Allegiance just last year. When the Secretary Mal was asked about them, he replied that they both used to discuss with each other that it is only the Ahmadiyya Muslim community which spends in the way of Allah the Almighty in the most excellent manner. Therefore, they said, we should spend in the way of Allah only through this Jamaat. By the grace of Allah, now his wife, who was not an Ahmadi before, took the oath of allegiance and entered the community. And this year, both the husband and wife have paid approximately £14,000 in donation for Tehreek-e-Jadeed, which is the greatest sacrifice amongst the sacrifices made by any family in this local chapter of the community. The Amir of the London region writes that members of the Worcester Park Jamaat were encouraged to meet the Tehreek-e-Jadeed target. A family paid money for Tehreek-e-Jadeed out of the savings which they had set aside for holidays, and they chose to stay home instead of going somewhere for their holidays. There are countless incidents of financial sacrifice made by men, women and children which come to light. In this day and age, as I said, the preferences in the world are towards worldly pleasures and luxuries. However, Ahmadis sacrifice for the sake of Allah the Almighty's pleasure. A missionary from the Iganga region in Uganda writes, we encouraged a member from Bosu Jamaat to fulfill his pledge for Tehreek-e-Jadeed. He did not have anything in his house other than a rooster, the value of which was equal to his pledge amount. He presented it to us and said, I don't have anything else at the moment as a donation. Student tuition for my children has yet to be paid, but I will take care of that later. But first you should accept this donation from my family and myself. National Secretary Tehreek-e-Jadeed USA writes, an 11-year-old boy was saving money to purchase a video game. Usually at this age, kids are very fond of video games, and other than video games, they don't value anything else. However, when this boy was encouraged to pay for Tehreek-e-Jadeed, he paid $100 in donation, the money which he had saved for the video game. In this manner, this boy fulfilled a promise to give precedence to faith over all worldly affairs. Other than this, many children save their pocket money and pay this amount towards donations for Tehreek-e-Jadeed. Now, the disposition of children living in a country like America is definitely commendable, and such parents should be thankful to Allah the Almighty for this. And the way to be thankful to Allah the Almighty is that they should elevate the standards of their worship and sacrifices. A missionary again from the Iganga region in Uganda writes that a Tifl, a young boy from our Jamaat in Nacheri, learned Salat or the prayer, and he now leads the prayers in the Jamaat there and also leads the Jumaat, the Friday prayers. Amir Sahib rewarded him with some money for encouragement and he paid that amount in Tehreek-e-Jadeed donation. After some time, this young boy attended a funeral. When it was time for prayers, he called the azan very melodiously. Upon hearing this, another person happily rewarded him. This boy presented that amount as well in Tehreek-e-Jadeed donation. Observing this boy, other boys from this Jamaat were inspired to make donations. Some boys who were poor said that they would make donations by doing labor work. It is a small village of our people. Therefore, six boys from this Jamaat were able to make donations more than their pledges. Hence, Allah the Almighty is granting such sincere people to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who understand the spirit of sacrifice and are from every corner of the world. May Allah the Almighty always enable this spirit to prosper and everyone should progress in righteousness, in taqwa. At this time, I will announce the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadeed and present a brief summary report of last year's Tehreek-e-Jadeed donations. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the 81st year of Tehreek-e-Jadeed has come to a close on 31st October, and the 82nd year has commenced that we have entered. According to the reports which have been received thus far, the total collection for Tehreek-e-Jadeed is 9,217,800. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. This collection is £747,000 greater than last year's collection. Despite the deteriorating conditions in Pakistan, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, the standards of sacrifice are persistent, which they have set, and they are ranked first. After this, amongst the countries outside of Pakistan, Germany is first. By the grace of Allah, the spirit of offering financial sacrifice in Germany is elevated. They are offering sacrifices in regards to construction of mosques, and they are vying with each other in offering sacrifice. And they are trying, and they write restlessly that please pray that the construction of our mosques are finished soon, and they are ready to offer any sacrifice for this purpose. At the same time, they are participating in all the other financial sacrifices equally and in totality. May Allah the Almighty reward them. The UK is ranked second, USA is ranked third, Canada is ranked fourth, Australia is ranked fifth, India is ranked sixth, a Middle Eastern Jamaat is ranked seventh, Indonesia is ranked 8th, then again another Jamaat from the Middle East is ranked 9th, Ghana is ranked 10th, Ghana has risen to the top from far down the list, and Switzerland, which was ranked 10th, is now ranked 11th. This year, Ghana has collected the most amount from the members, or they have paid the most donations based on the local currency. They have increased their collections by 60%. After Ghana, Australia is second in terms of increasing their collection. And then there are Arab nations, then Canada, and then other countries. In terms of donations made per head, apart from two Arab countries, which were the most prominent in this regard, Switzerland is ranked first. In the past, Switzerland used to be ranked first, but now the spirit of sacrifice in Arab countries is continuously progressing immensely. In terms of sacrifice per head, America is ranked number 4, Australia is ranked number 5, UK is ranked 6, Germany is ranked number 7. Norway is also progressing and it is ranked number 9. Then, among small Jamaats, Singapore, Finland, Japan, and 4 Jamaats of the Middle East are worthy of mentions. Amongst the African countries, the most prominent donations were collected in Ghana, Nigeria, Mauritius, Burkina Faso, Tanzania, Gambia, and Benin. In regards to the total number of participants in the scheme, I always emphasize that this number should be increased, even if someone pays a very small amount as a token. Jamaats were also given targets in this regard. By the grace of Allah, this year the total number of participants in Tehreek-e-Jadeed is 1,311,000, and this year there were 100,000 new participants. Australia has made significant progress in order to increase participation, and almost 94% of the Jamaat is participating. Canada has worked very hard, and 91% of the Jamaat are contributors. India has also worked hard in this regard. It seems like their report was not sent. I think their percentage is probably equal to this, and they should send their report if it has not been. Apart from this, a lot of work was done in African countries. Great efforts were made in Mali, Burkina Faso, Congo-Brazzaville, Guinea-Conakry, Cameroon, Ghana, Senegal, and South Africa. All these countries have tried harder than the past to increase participation. There are 5,927 accounts of people included in Daftar Awwal, after which 85 people are still alive by the grace of Allah, and they are paying their donations personally. The remaining 5,842 accounts of those who have passed away are being paid by their heirs and families. There are three large Jamaats in Pakistan who have made the greatest sacrifices. Lahore is ranked first, Rabwah is second, Karachi third. In terms of collection, the Jamaats which sacrifice the most are Islamabad, Multan, Quetta, Peshawar, Hyderabad, Mirpur Khas, Dera Ghazi Khan, Bahawalpur, Bahawalnagar and Jang. The 10 large districts that have sacrificed the most, Sialkot 1st, Faisalabad 2nd, Sargodha 3rd, Umarkot 4th, Gujranwala and Gujarat are ranked number 5, Topatak Singh is ranked 6, Mirpur Azad Kashmir is ranked 7, Okara is ranked number 8, Nankana Sahib and Sangar ranked 9 and 10. Compared to last year, the following Jamaats have shown better performance. The small Jamaats are of Hyderabad, Sabundasti, Gatialia, Ishadapur, Kokur Garbi, Kunri, Chaknao, Punyar, Sahiwal, Bashirabad State, and Ayatpur, Bhatia. The top 10 Jamaats from Germany, Noes, Wördemark, Florisheim, Cologne, Nida, Madiabad, Noisenberg, Freiburg, Dreieich, and Koblenz. The top 10 local Jamaats are Hamburg, Frankfurt, Groskerau, Darmstadt, Wiesbaden, Mannheim, Moorfelden, Waldorf, Dietenbach, Offenbach. The top Jamaats from America are Silicon Valley, Detroit, Los Angeles, Seattle, Central Virginia, York, and Harrisburg. The first five regions in the UK are London A, London B, Midlands, Northeast and South. In terms of donations per capita in the UK, Islamabad is ranked first, then Midlands, Southeast, Southwest, Northeast and Scotland. In terms of collection, the first 10 among the big Jamaats in the UK are Masjid Fazl, ranked number 1, then Rains Park, Worcester Park, New Malden, Gillingham, Birmingham South, Thornton Heath, Wimbledon Park, Bradford and Glasgow. Among these small UK Jamaats, first is Limiting Spa, then Wolverhampton, Spen Valley, Coventry and Newcastle. In terms of payments, the small UK Jamaats are Devon and Cornwall, Limiting Spa, Spen Valley, Swansea and Wolverhampton. In Canada, Calgary is ranked number 1, Peace Village is ranked number 2, and then Toronto, Vaughan and Vancouver. In terms of collection, there are five Jamaats which are worth mentioning: Edmonton, Durham, Saskatoon, South Milton, Georgetown, and Ottawa West. The top 10 Jamaats in Australia are Castle Hill, Melbourne South, Brisbane Logan, Brisbane South, Canberra, Australian Capital Territory, Canberra, Adelaide South, Lambton, Blacktown, Mount Druitt, Marsden Park. There are 10 Jamaats amongst the ranks in India: Kerala, Kerala, Hyderabad, Calicut, Kerala, Gaudian, Petapuram, Kerala, Kannanur Town, Kerala, and Pangadi, Kerala, Calcutta, Bengal, Bangalore, Karnataka, Solur, Tamil Nadu. And in terms of the greatest sacrifice, the top 10 districts are Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Jammu Kashmir, Orissa, Punjab, Bengal, Delhi and Maharashtra. May Allah the Almighty bless all these participants and their wealth. May He continue to increase them in sincerity and loyalty.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله